Playoff 40 Howe hat trick from Evander Kane. What a performance. Oilers with a convincing performance, fixed a lot of things that went wrong in game number two. And as a result, 2-1 lead in the series. Welcome to Got Your Back, folks. We are live streaming tonight on YouTube and on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, for those of you who are on live with us. And if you're listening in podcast form, hope you're having a fantastic Saturday morning. Jason Strudwick is standing by. Rob Brown is going to jump in tonight as well. Coming at you, as always, from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. All Oiler game nights during the playoffs, all you can eat wings, $25 a person. A few conditions apply, but check out Long Shots Sherwood Park and join in on the fun with their watch party. As always, our show is proudly presented by our presenting title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. If you or anybody you know is in need of a vehicle right now, send them on down to 10 Auto Mall Road, just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Phil and his amazing staff will take great care of you. They know how to do this, right? They've got a streamlined sales process. They respect your time. Oh, by the way, the vehicles are awesome. I've got the Sierra 1500 elevation trim. Great vehicle. Highly recommend Sherwood Buick GMC, just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. All right, let's bring in Strutty. How we doing, pal?
Good, man. What's up with you?
A little bit of a late start tonight, but that's okay. Oilers get the job done. Before we get the podcast really rolling tonight, Struds, I do want to just take just a couple of minutes here because, you know, the hockey world lost just an absolute legend with the passing of Mr. Bob Cole. And I had a few opportunities through the course of my career after having listened to him, as we all did for all those years. Had a couple of really nice conversations with him, covered some playoff series that he was on. You know, I don't have any great story. I just recall how he seemed exactly in person the way he seemed and sounded on TV. I was so pleased to meet him, Struds, because it was exactly what I thought he would be. Really nice man. Gave me some time, had a nice conversation, and just a beautiful voice, beautiful man. He was an absolute beauty. So, and lived a great life.
Yeah. You know what? He sounds the way I want to sound it, but I don't sound like him at all. Like his voice, the way his verbiage, everything. He just does such a good job. I was honored when he called games I was a part of. He was a soundtrack of hockey for me growing up. And then I was lucky enough when I did a famous show called Dinner Television to interview Bob, and he was so gracious and like just amazing guy. So yeah, he had a great life. The guy had a great run, impacted so many hockey fans around the world, and especially in Canada. So yeah, I was saddened to see him go, but I think that he lived a very full life and impacted many, many people, making them fall in love with hockey.
Yeah, 100%, man. That voice was just so simple.
Yeah.
And the thing about him, and we've heard lots of stories, I think they did a great job on Hockey Night and on Sportsnet, you know, honoring him. Everybody got to tell a story. Ron did his thing. Gene told a story tonight. I think they did a great job honoring him. I love the story about how he was just wrote the lines down on a piece of cardboard. That was all he had, man. That was all he had. And when you got an engine like that, which was his amazing voice and his understanding of the moment, and maybe better than anybody understood, like play-by-play guys, they have to have gears, right? The good ones. Like there's a certain time you got to be in second gear, and then third gear. You got to save fifth gear for when you really need it. Bob Cole was always in the perfect gear for the moment. And that didn't require stats. That didn't require notes. That required amazing touch, Strutty. He just knew. That's why it always, what you were listening to always fit the moment.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He just, and I think the biggest compliment I can give him is he made it look very easy.
Yeah,
but it's a very hard thing to do. And you know, even towards the end, when at times he'd maybe mix up two players, I didn't care. You know, I'm not, quite frankly, I when I listened to Bob Cole, it was just his voice. I could watch what was going on. I wanted to hear how he interpreted different moments. He was the best of the best, in my opinion. In my lifetime, I don't think there'll ever be another like him.
Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, we got a heck of a hockey game to break down. Oilers return serve here, 6-1 win, Struds, and they now take charge of the series. with a 2-1 lead. Let's get to the breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton. It was founded back in 1939. That's how long they've been rolling out quality clothing to Edmonton and area. Just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. That is a long history, man. They've got everything you need, right? All the suits and pants and shirts and belts and everything you need to look fancy and dress up real nice. They got lots of great casual clothing as well. So definitely have to go check them out. MrDirk.com is their website, and you can see everything that they have to offer. I went and saw Sterling just the other day, got suited up, struts. One of my Yope brand suits coming in. Nice new shirt, quality tie. I'm looking forward to rolling that out for game 5, buddy. The whole new look.
Yeah, I bet you're going to look sharp. I mean, you're known as a sharp-dressed man, as ZZ Top used to say.
If only they could do something for thinning hair. Brownie's going to hop in here. He's just finishing up on Ched, so we'll get to him in a couple of minutes. Struds, we have to start with Evander Kane tonight. There's no other place to start. Because what a performance. A Gordie Howe hat trick. He's been impacting the games in different ways over the last couple of games. But you just really got the feeling, Struds, that if he kept doing that and kept doing that, there was more to come for Evander Kane. And I thought the head coach had perfect timing to do what he did with him.
Yeah, I did. Bumping him up. You know, and you know, before when we heard the injury, when he proclaimed about the injury, I was worried. I'm not going to lie. I was worried about what he could do, how he could skate. And I thought the first two games he skated as well as we've seen him skate all year. And he was engaged. And tonight he was just, you know, to use a kid's word, full beast mode. He was everywhere. And you know, I think it was Leon that was asked about him getting hit a couple times, and yep. Leon said, well, he also hit the same thing, and he's at his best when he's in the middle of it. And he was in the middle of every bag of turds out there, whether it was you know, scoring or hitting, making plays, getting hit, getting in a fight. Like, that's when he's his best. I think he emotionally connects and he raises his impact on the game for when he's doing it that way. So I tell you what, he's a huge part of this team. And the fact that, for whatever reason, Chris Knobloch felt it was time to raise him up, it was a nice touch, really nice touch by the coach.
So it's funny, people on the stream think I was going to come on here and like beat my chest as though Evander Kane playing higher in the lineup is like my idea exclusively or something. Not the case at all. What I've maintained all along here with Struds, and I know you've agreed, that if the Oilers are going to get to where they want to go, which is the promised land, right? That Evander Kane, I was never suggesting that he should have been in the top six at any point along the way here. My suggestion has always been for them to get to where they want to go, he's going to need to play so well that they have no choice but to have him in their top six. That's how important he is to this group. That's how important his playoff style is. And so it wasn't about me saying, get him in the top six, get him in the top six. I've said all along, he needs to play well enough to be in the top six. And when that happens, this group is going places. So he's elevated his game, and it'll be interesting to see if he can keep it there. But this has been a build, and this is very good news for the Oilers that he's gone from where he was a few weeks ago to the way he played tonight.
Yeah, it is. And you look at the lines, they're very balanced, those top two. You know, you have kind of the worker being Hyman and Kane and guys that are scorers, you know, if you will. The centers are both world-class players. I don't have to break them down. But then the other winger, the complementary winger, in this case, Nugent Hopkins and Henrique, are both more defensively aware, kind of play. They're more playmakers. And I think they want to give and get the puck back with their centers more than Hyman and Kane. Not suggesting Kane and Hyman are selfish players, but they're more, you get them the puck at the end of the game, at the end, you know, towards the end, you want them shooting it. So they've really very similar lines in many ways, and the way they set it up. So I like the way those two lines are set up. And, you know, a lot of people are asking why they take Nuge away from Hyman and McDavid. I think it's because it just balances those lines more, and they're very similar lines.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Okay, let's get a little bit specific about his night. He did that on purpose. Like that bank pass, that was on purpose, hey? You don't think so? It was a soft touch off the side of the net, man. That was not like a ham-handed smash it off the side of the net. He soft-touched it off the side and poked. You don't think so, hey? Okay, that's fair. You know.
If he was making a straight pass to Leon, why not just make the straight pass?
I don't think the angle was there. Wasn't he too far gone?
I don't know. I think I you know what? I'll go along with it. I'll go along and say that it was a magical pass. I just don't know why he just wanted to make the straight pass to Leon.
Can I actually say one thing on that? As a goalie.
Hi, Zuby. Hey, buds.
Hey, gang.
Greetings.
I'm here.
Hey, friend.
Honestly, as a goalie, I'm watching for the puck to go, and I reach a point where I think he can't pass. He's gone. He's gone past the point of where he has to go behind net. Like, that pass was crazy to bank it, to get it there. So it's possible that was for Talbot, to get it past the point of Talbot saying, there's no longer a pass there. I'm going to the other side. And he did. That would be my only Zuby, thought. That would be my only
why
thought.
Why don't you throw up a poll? I mean, I know it's a stream full of Oilers fans, so it might. But honestly, give us your honest opinion, folks.
Sure.
They still won the game. It won't change the outcome. Give us your honest opinion. Did Evander Kane do that on purpose? Was it by accident? 50-50, whatever you want to call it. But I'm interested, Treads. Okay, so we'll move past that. So the really nice assist, we'll call it. And then it's a garbage goal. It is a garbage goal of all garbage goals. But when you're willing to go to the garbage areas, garbagey things happen, and it was a garbagey goal, and good on them for that garbage, Struds.
Yeah, I just agree with that. I think that it takes courage, and I was with Craig McTavish today.
I didn't say it didn't take courage.
Well, you said it was a garbage goal.
What was a garbage goal? Okay, continue. Make your point.
Yeah, so that, like Craig McTavish today at the Alzheimer's luncheon said, you know, it's driving the net, it reveals character. And I agree. Going to the net, when you drive the net, there's a chance it's going to go off your stick, off your body, whatever. So I like it. I would have gone in without Kane being there. It's unlikely. That I know for sure. But because he goes there, it hits off his body and is rewarded. I love it. Like, I love seeing guys score goals like
me
that
too.
Because it takes pain to get there. So I actually give the guy credit.
I do too.
There's a lot of players that don't want to go to the front of the net.
I do too. I'm giving him full credit. But it's a garbage goal, Struds. That's a garbage goal. You go to the front of the net, you get in there, you grind, it goes in off your knee. That's the very definition of what a garbage goal is.
No, I think garbage goal. I guess Brownie.
Zuby, put up another poll.
I think garbage goal is just like, I don't know. I think that you're rewarded for going to the front of the net. The last game, we talked a lot about all the breaks that the Kings were getting. And I believe you earn your breaks. I can't live in a world where I think that it's just random. It's just a coin flip. Do I get the breaks tonight or not? And when you go to the front end and it hits you on the leg, you are encouraging the coin toss to come up your way. And I think that's what that's what Evander did there. So I don't like the term garbage goal for that goal. There's others that I would call garbage, but that one I can't embrace.
Noel Rinsky agrees with you. He says, Ryan, garbage goal is the wrong term. Am I using this piece of hockey vernacular wrong? Like, I view garbage goal as complimentary. Like, if you're a garbage goal guy, it's like Zach Hyman has scored so many garbage goals this year because he's sitting in the crease, puck hits someone else, bounces in front of him, and he's right in the right spot, and he bangs it in. It's a garbage goal. You skate to the front of the net, it goes in off your knee. It's a garbage goal. So what would you say a garbage goal is? We're getting derailed here.
I don't like the term garbage, because it's suggesting it's something bad, like, or it's unlucky, or it's just luck. Like, I don't like that term. So you can say it's a hardworking goal, a goal that is hard work. I term it more because it is, you're rewarded. You're like, again, we've talked so much about these lucky goals the Kings scored.
All right.
You know, the overtime winner. Is that a garbage goal what Kopitar did because it was a lucky bounce? Like, I think that's a bit dismissive.
No, that was an incredible shot in a high skill play. Yeah, no one would call that a garbage goal.
It was garbage because the lucky pass by Byfield.
Garbage, the
connotation is negative. And I can't embrace that for something I really love from hockey players.
Chaos Never Died said, I can't believe we're talking about this. We're with you. Let's change the term. Let's say this. Okay. Greasy. How's Greasy?
I can live with Greasy. Greasy is greasy. Great. Garbage, it doesn't have the same negativity.
Okay. I will withdraw garbage, insert greasy. Zuby, go back and make the edit. Everywhere I said garbage, edit in the word greasy after we're done here tonight.
I think I can get AI to do that for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Okay, let's get to the rough stuff. What do you think of the hit and Kane's response? Obviously, you know what I love most about that? The linesman was like, yeah, you want to go? Okay, I just go. Linesman just let England go, and it was like, let the fight happen, right? But what did you think of that, the hit in that whole sequence?
I didn't love the hit. I think the refs, for the most part, got it right. Mm-hmm. There's gonna, you know, I'll say this though. There's a lot of penalty minutes on the score sheet with not a lot really happening. Like, you know, there's one fight. Yeah, but what did happen there? I'm sorry. I didn't really understand why he got tossed. What happened there? Are you clear with that?
The ref just literally, he just started throwing people out of the game. Like, yeah. Let's go to the fact that LA ended up down 5-on-3 after all of that mess. Now, granted, we're not on the ice. We don't see everything. The cameras aren't necessarily showing us everything. So let's be fair to the refs to a degree in that there might have been stuff we didn't see. Based on what I saw, I was gobsmacked that the Oilers had a 5-on-3 coming out of that. And so was the Kings bench.
You know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter. Like it was surprising. Like I was like, even when Kane and Doughty got thrown out, you're like, what? Like what did you do? You know, 20 years ago, you would have had to murder someone on the ice to get kicked out of the game. Even then, be like, hey, keep it down. Let's not get crazy. And then all of a sudden, these two guys get yanked. But Kane did nothing.
He did nothing. I agree. Doughty kind of two-handed him. He sort of protected himself. Then Buddy came in and he kind of protected himself. And then he got wrapped up. And all of a sudden, he's on his way to the locker room. Oh, that was garbage. That was garbage.
That's the time. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? But again, it's kind of at the point where it wasn't going to make a difference, the outcome, right? The outcome had been decided already. Mm-hmm. And the Oilers did a lot of good things tonight, like a lot of good things prior to the third period that just left the Kings in the dust.
Zuby, I'm going to let you take us on a little journey here through the sound, because I can't quite remember. You were pulling sound while I was doing some work for TSN here. By the way, filed a post-game report on TSN's YouTube channel, a little bit of analysis of the game. So by all means, head over to our YouTube channel and check that out when you get a chance. For now, let's get to our sound box brought to you by Weish Johnson. They're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive. Make sure the air in your home stays nice and clean, right? If we have fires again this year, it'll keep your living quarters comfortable when it gets real dicey outside. Contact Weish Johnson for this amazing deal. Weish-Johnson.com. You know what you have, Zuby, so why don't you just intro a clip or two and fire them away.
Okay, let me working on the fly here. Let's go with Nurse. We talked about the physicality. Let's go with Darnell Nurse on the team sticking up for each other.
Yeah, everyone got in there, defended each other. That's what this time of the year in the full 82 that you played before, that's what brings everyone together. I think this group is really tight. We've been through a lot this year, and that was just a good example of what each other mean to each other in here. So it's a good sign, and you know, we'll do it on the physical side, and for us, we got to continue to do it on the ice and in that 5-on-5 and between the whistles.
Had been a lot of turning the other cheek in this series so far, Struds, right? Like Hyman didn't really pay any sort of a toll for that hit he put on one of their better players. And we've seen that. Draisaitl got thumped pretty good. Like there's been one fight and a bunch of face washing and waltzing after the whistles. Really, the viciousness has been during play. There have been some whoppers of hits so far in this series, but nobody wants to take it any further than that. Is that fair?
No, but I mean, I think you're right. But tonight, the game was really out of hand. And I think that for the Kings, you're feeling good about yourself coming home. 1-2-3 down 3-0 after the first period. You're like, what the hell's? Hey, come on, guys. Let's get it going in a second. And bang, bang, they're done. So now they're just frustrated. And they don't want to go out without a bit of a pushback. So they try to push back. Now it sets up an incredible game four. Just probably the series in game four, right? That's, you know, not that the Oilers lose, it's over, but if they win, it's probably over, right? So huge game four, and the Kings want to set the table for it Sunday night.
So you felt like it was a bit of a high hit, you said? Sorry, you said that one that was right before the fight? Little bit, hey? Yeah. Got the head kind of first. And
wasn't horrendous.
Could have been worse, hey? Like even just a little bit of a chicken wing could have been really bad.
In real time, I thought it looked worse than in slow motion, but that's sometimes how it goes. But I wasn't horrendous, but I do appreciate them calling that play.
Yeah, and on the slew foot, did you think they missed the slew foot there? Did you feel like when he hit his head?
Yeah.
The guy was going down a bit, right?
Yes,
a little bit.
I don't like slew foots in general. So I already have I'm already predisposed to not liking that play.
Yeah.
But yes, I didn't like either. I just think they got to be. I find when the game's out of control, like as far as the score, you really got to be diligent on what you call and don't call. And I think it's better to go heavier when that happens than light.
Yeah, for sure. Zuby, and I know you're going to be busy for the next minute here bringing Brownie in, but do we got some Connor McDavid and some Evander Kane? Can we play one of each?
We got Connor on some of the defensive changes that they made.
Perfect. Thanks, Paul.
The track was great. I thought our D had great gaps. When our track gap game is on point like that, we're a real solid team. You know, we're solid to play against. We break pucks out well. We don't spend much time in our D zone when we're tracking like that and gapped up and breaking it out like that.
Really quickly, Struds, can you translate that a little bit? The track and gap. What he means?
So there's a relationship. So when D-man, when the forwards back, I'll talk in English. Back check hard. when they back check hard, that means work hard to put pressure from behind on the guys coming out of the zone.
Backtrack.
That's the deal. Is the D-man stay up? They keep their they hold the blue line, and so those players kind of get squished in that spot, and then usually they have to dump it in or there's a turnover. So back check hard. I'll stand up. I stand up, you back check hard. That's the deal between forwards and D-men. And like 97, I thought he nailed it. It was good. I was really good tonight, boys.
Welcome to the program, Robert Brown.
Whoa.
How are we doing, pal?
I'm doing very well. What's going on?
Anything not much. New? We were, Struds and I were, we got into a fight. And so we're so happy to have a third voice on the pod because we can come to you when Struds and I are having a fight.
Okay, what happened? Are you guys okay?
Fair. Well, I'll let you know after you answer. Fair or not fair, Evander Kane's goal could fairly be classified as a garbage goal.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a garbage goal, 100%.
How are we looking on the poll, Zuby? Would now be a good time to check the poll, too? You can just pile right on to Struds.
Well, this wasn't the poll. You really did want me to change the poll? I didn't change the poll. We're still on whether Kane intentionally did the bank pass.
Oh, right. So
let's switch it.
Okay, how about that one, Brownie? Where are you at on that one? Did Kane intentionally do the bank pass? One of us thought he did. One of us thought he didn't.
I didn't think so, no. Okay. I don't think he did.
Okay.
But I think that once he saw it hit the thing, then he's like, oh, hey, good. Leon's there. That worked out really well.
Totally.
That's a really hard play to be able to bank it back to a guy. That would be very hard. The first goal, that was a garbage goal. I had a few of those in my day, and they're garbage goals, but they feel just as good as the other goals.
Yeah. Well, we agreed to play nice. Struds and I actually troubleshot our disagreement, and we just decided to use the word greasy instead of garbage because Struds took offense to garbage.
Oh. Greasy's another one, but garbage. I mean, I don't mind garbage goals. They count the same as a pretty one.
The problem is that I have with that is that kids don't want to score garbage goals. They want to score things that go on Instagram. And so the connotation or the name is to me is the problem. I want to hear something. Greasy is great. I think that's a better one. Garbage. It's just it just sounds bad. It was just a bad goal. And I can't do it.
You do know that no kid is putting a goal on Instagram where it hits him in the pad and goes in.
Right.
I know you can call it anything you want. He ain't putting that one on Instagram.
Yeah. I know, but I always tell kids, you can score five amazing goals or 25 with five good ones and 15 ugly ones. And I want to take the guy who scores 20. So I'm trying to change the verbiage around scoring goals.
You know, I like that. I do like that.
Struds is on a campaign to get some respect for offense in hockey. Imagine that. Okay, people need to know what I've done to Zuby tonight. So we had a disaster technically. He was troubleshooting. He was putting out fires. And then we changed the plan last second and decided to have Brownie join us because we took so long and we have time now. And that creates a whole mess for him. Zuby, so we love you, but we're getting some chimes on the stream about how Joaquin Gage looks a little different these days. Oh, there, he changed it just in time. Just in time, he changed the name.
I was Joaquin today?
You were Joaquin
Nice.
That's a nice
I like
minute.
That.
You know good what catch, I was thinking? I was thinking maybe it could be like a waste management goal. Is that better for you, Stretty? Is like, do we just find something nicer?
Yeah.
Or like a sanitation department goal?
An effort, a recycled effort goal.
I can't. I don't. I disagree with all that. If anything that's related to anything that is just garbage, you can't. I think it's the wrong message. And so, anyways, this is just my. I'm on a crusade to change it for everyone.
I think you'll like this one on the stream, Stretty. Calvin C says a workman's goal.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I can live with that. I mean, Zach Hyman probably scored, you know, quote unquote, of Shoggers 50 garbage goals this year. 50 some. So you got to, it's got to be, there's got to be something better than that. And kids, because they don't see it that way. I see it every day.
Yeah. I'm not worried about how the kids are feeling about their goals. I guess you're more hands on with that. You're dealing with.
I'm very worried about it.
Yeah, I guess you are. Okay, we have tons to go still. We got a bunch of segments and a bunch of stuff here, and we want to hear what Brownie had to say about Evander Kane. Before we do that, though, let's get to our UK Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night, an Edmonton charity relentless in helping youth aged 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment. Visit UCAN.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. We're a really proud monthly donor here on Got Your Back. And if you can, check it out. Think about becoming a monthly donor yourself. Strutty, who are we going with tonight, buddy?
Well, I got to go with Evander Kane. You get a Gornel hat trick, and I'm telling you, you're going to get it every single day, even if the Oilers lose. So Evander Kane, goal, assist, fight. Yeah, he was really good tonight. Really, really good.
We've both had our say on him. Brownie, you joined late. What stood out to you? What are your thoughts? Kane's night.
I think just he brought it offensively. He brought it physically. But I think the biggest thing for me is we've seen at times where he goes a little off script, where he takes things into his own hands when he thinks he's been wronged, and sometimes puts the team in a penalty killing situation. He took some awful nasty hits tonight. Like, they targeted him. And I was shocked. I mean, this is not a guy that you would think you would target. You don't want to wake up Evander Kane. But Mikey Anderson ran him four times on one power play, and Evander Kane kept it in check. And yeah. Like, all right, I'll take that. Okay, I'll take your number. I'll find you another time. And I think that's a maturity that not just Evander, that this team had tonight. There's one time that McDavid got hit from behind by Byfield. And they told Kulak, hey, hold it. No, it's okay. It's a maturity that this team has, and I think Evander Kane, the fact that he took numbers instead of taking penalties, I think that was huge for him because his teammates see that, and I think that's big for this team going forward.
Yeah, some great points there, Brownie. The other thing I'll point out, too, he made a bad mistake. That goal against, I mean, that was his mistake, and he came right back, impacted the game in a couple more positive ways after that, and, you know, sometimes you make a mistake like that, kind of get in your head a little bit, didn't skip a beat. Got right back into it and had a hell of a hockey game for the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, guys, still to come. Like, we got to talk about special teams. We got to talk about improved defensive play. There's so much other stuff. Leon Draisaitl bounce back. Should probably talk about Stu Skinner. So we'll have a lengthy takeaway segment coming up. But before we do that, we're going to go to break. We're going to debut something new, though. You can't always assume everybody knows what happened around the National Hockey League tonight, so we're going to do a quick scoreboard as we go to break. Zuby's going to handle it. It's brought to you by our good buddies over at DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center, aiming to help you play better golf with golf fitting instruction, after-sales support, and merchandise, clothing as well. Celebrating 25 years, congratulations to Al DeBoer and his great staff over there, 5311 99th Street here in Edmonton. Zuby, you got our scoreboard, buddy?
I got the scoreboard. Yeah, let's go quickly around the other games. The Rangers beat the Caps 3-1. Caps on the verge of elimination. One of three series to go 3-0 in the Eastern Conference. And that pundits kind of seemed like they thought the separation in the East was greater between the top teams and the lower teams. That seems to be showing itself. Also had to throw it Matt Rempe with a big hit tonight. And I hadn't heard this before. Yeah. They're calling him the Rempire State Building. And I thought,
okay, that's pretty we'll good. Be talking about that later.
The Canucks win 2-1 in Nashville, take a 2-1 series lead there. The Canucks registered only 12 shots on goal. 12 in the win, 29 saves yep. for Casey DeSmith at the other end.
Hey, Zuby, just pause for a sec. Chris yeah. R. says this needs a music bed, Zuby, so it I does. Can do that. I'm gonna give you our anthem. Okay. So go ahead and finish it over better. The anthem, buddy.
Beautiful, yeah. And Colorado beats the Winnipeg Jets by a count of 6-2. Jets were leading that game 2-1 going into the third period, got into penalty trouble, and the Avs just exploded for 5 unanswered in the third. They take a 2-1 lead in that series with the next game also in Colorado. So that's your DeBoer's scoreboard update for April 26th. Stick around, folks. We'll be back in like 60 seconds.
Oh, look at you landing the plane. Boom. Nice job,
buddy. Whoa. There was a mistake there. It is not April 26th. It's April 27th.
Oh, and it's still April 26th where I am for six boom. More minutes.
Money.
Boom. I didn't want to run it.
Points from you. The guy just moved a mountain, and that's what you do. Zuby,
keep it moving.
Great job.
Thanks, Brownie. Keep it moving.
You're in the penalty box.
It's going to be April 28th. Let's get it going. It's going to be 28th. Let's
Good
go.
Good job. We'll study. The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day, it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
Alice Hemsky says, with all the golf sponsors on this show, I'd expect the Flames to be the next Got Your Back headliner. That's not bad. Not bad. Welcome to DeBoer's. And thanks for that scoreboard, Zuby. Time for our takeaways, brought to you by FG Promotions, your place for all corporate and team merchandise, from apparel, jerseys, gifts, golf tournament prizes. Corporate customers even get personal discounts on golf gear for their employees. Keep them happy. Top shelf quality, amazing customer service. Visit fgpromo.ca. You get 10% on your first order when you mention Got Your Back. Okay, we covered basically Evander Kane in that first segment, but he deserved a segment basically to himself. Struds, special teams. And in particular, the penalty kill. The Oilers have dominated this battle. What is happening with this penalty kill that is doing so well?
Yeah, the two, that's the most impressive. Like, I know that LA had a really good penalty kill as well, and they'll look, Oilers' power play is doing a good job. But I think just when you have that solid penalty kill, it really gives everyone a chance. Because then you're 5-on-5, you don't have to be as desperate there. Then anything you get on your power play is really just gravy, right? It's a bonus. What I like about their penalty kills, they're getting the shooting lanes, and that's kind of cliche, but they seem to be anticipating what the Kings are going to do. And a lot of times the Kings will get the puck, and they're going up, over, then back down the sidewall. Someone's there to greet them. Stick on puck. Just getting little tweaks, little pucks mm-hmm. bouncing around. Tonight there was a play that it went from, I guess, the left of Skinner to the front of the net, and Vinny Darnay's stick was on the ice, and he shot it out just a one-time to right out. So sticks in place, and their attention to detail on the PK is great, Brownie, and it's really making it hard for the Kings to really feel, I think, comfortable at all on the power play.
Well, two things. I don't think that the Oilers are anticipating where the puck is going. I think they're directing where the puck is going. I think, for example, the top forward is going from left to right, and he's forcing Doughty. Okay, I'm going to have, well, I can't pass that way. I got to go down this way. And they're reading that. And the Oilers, okay, if Nugent Hopkins is pushing him, now I get a jump. And they're aggressive. So they're getting there. There's no time. The LA Kings have had zero time, no time, no space to make plays. And what this is doing to the, and I've been on the power play side of things. If your power play is not creating anything, you're going back to the bench deflated. And the next line going out has got to deflate, where the Oilers get pumped up because they get a big kill. The LA Kings, their power plays are taking the life out of their teams. And like, they're creating nothing, nothing. They're not, it's not like, oh, we had a couple good chances, let's build off that. They haven't even had a chance. So the Oilers penalty killing has been outstanding in this series. And a big reason that the Oilers are up right now in the series 2-1.
Struds, two major factors on the kill tonight, Stuart Skinner, and this will, you know, transition us into talking about Skinner, but maybe first a word on Vinny Desharnais and some pretty solid effort on the penalty kill there. He's really, really coming into his own in this role and doing it at an extremely high level for them.
Well, let's go back to last year in the playoffs. You know, there was a lot of talk, and I was amongst them, where it said, you know, Vinny's numbers or minutes has to come down. You know, and he worked a lot in the offseason, and all year he's been, you know, working towards his game. Mm-hmm. And so far in these playoffs, there's no reason to say he needs less minutes. I think tonight he was around, I think it was 17 or 18 minutes, if I remember correctly. But he is really just understanding where he has to be, using that long reach and using that big body to take up space and take away time from other teams' group. And he's done a great job. And, you know, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but every game he plays, if he plays like this and is as strong, it's costing the Oilers more money or another team, right? Like that dream of $1.5 million.
Oh, no.
It starts with a two, and I think all it's creeping up to 2.5. Yeah. I really think that he's looking hot 2.5 at least.
You know, a point on Vinny Desharnais, there's a great camera angle tonight on the LA Kings power play, and I think it was Arvidsson. He gets it on the wall and he takes it towards the net. And Arvidsson's a shooter and a very good one at that. He takes it towards the net and all he can see is Desharnais. He can't see the net. He can't see Skinner. He goes towards and then he turns back to the boards and regroups because Desharnais is in the shooting lane. He's so big and so he just covers everything that the LA Kings are turning away from shots because they can't see it. And that's just on Desharnais being big and in the right spot.
Yeah. I'm just stunned the Oilers were able to kill any penalties without Connor Brown, guys. Brownie.
They might have two shorthand goals, though, if he was in.
Yeah, that's a fair point by you. Sorry, I had to take that shot. It was sitting there. Brownie, give us a thought on the power play. I'll let you talk about the power play. You go.
Well, first, the LA Kings, I know, have got a great penalty killing unit all season long. They are, I think, number two in the league. But the Oilers are a different animal when it comes to their power play. LA is playing very passive. And that's allowing Connor and Leon and Nugent Hopkins and Bouchard all the time in the world to find the right play. You cannot play passive against them because Connor's skating in and he's looking, okay, one, two, three, which play do I want to go to? And they're trying to get in passing lanes, but he's got four guys to pass. Someone's going to be open and he finds it because they're not being aggressive. The Oilers power play is special because all five guys are they're a scoring threat. Mm-hmm. They're always a scoring threat, and all five guys are capable of making passes. But the biggest thing about them is their execution. They don't make bad passes. Every pass is on the stick, and their retrieval, if there's a rebound, the retrieval is second to none. But you watch LA, they're keeping it on the outside. Eventually, they made a bad pass, or a puck gets deflected. That doesn't happen with the Oilers. Every pass is tape to tape, and it is demoralizing, as Strudge will tell you, as a penalty killer, when they don't make a mistake, because you're waiting for that one bumble, that one fumble of the puck where you can attack. Well, you can't because they don't make that mistake, Struz. They're just, it's a clinic. It's almost as though it's, you know, in practice when you used to have power play against the killers would turn their sticks upside down. That's what it's like out there. That's what LA Kings look like right now. They just can't touch the puck.
Yeah, just to follow up. So when you're a penalty killer, you're looking for an opportunity when there's someone showing their back to you or there's a bad pass. And until you get that, it's really hard to attack because they're always facing you, right? They're facing you. And then as soon as you attack them, they pass to someone who's open and there's a lot of space behind you. So if you don't get that moment of a bumble or someone with their back to you, you can't attack. So now you're just kind of sitting waiting for that moment. You know, I remember coach you say, one go, we all go. Well, if we can't one go, the rest of you can't go either. You're just kind of sitting back. So the passing and the skill that the Oilers are showing is just – it's really hard to kill it. And I do believe that the Kings have to try to hold the line more and put more pressure up ice. I know it's Connor McDavid, I get it, but it's just they're getting into their zone. Once again, their zone, it's over.
Well, what I would do if I were them, I would, when Bouchard starts carrying it up, I would have a guy go back and skate with Connor. Let Bouchard carry it in because you're not stopping Connor. Maybe Bouchard gets it in, but you have a better chance of stopping Bouchard carrying the puck than McDavid. Because
no one's
McDavid,
ever done that, hey?
No,
and I don't, no one's really committed to that.
They tried. Marleau's done it a few when he played with Patrick Marleau did it. But I've said this all along. Go behind him. Try to deny the pass to Connor McDavid. Even if it just slows it down for a second. And you're picking your poison here. I get it. It's, you know, if it's not Connor, it's maybe Leon or Nuge. But I'll take anyone over McDavid entering the zone. Anyone at all. And I just don't understand why they, and I've talked to other NHL coaches about, they're like, well, we don't see it as a value. I'm like, so you'd rather just skate it in unperturbed? Like, I don't get it. So I'm with you, Brownie. It's a great call.
Okay. A few more things I want to get to, guys, but we'll do it in a little bit more quick hitter fashion because we're pretty deep into the pod here timing wise. So give me a sort of a brief thought on a couple of elements here. Leon Draisaitl said pregame, Struds, that, you know, definitely knew that his line was getting a little bit dinged up matchup-wise and knew that they needed to pick it up a little bit. One of the better players early in the game. What'd you think of Draisaitl and company?
Tonight, just a big thought. The Oilers' biggest gun showed up. We saw that last game with Kempe and Kopitar, Doughty all showing up. Tonight, it was Oilers' big guns that showed up. And Leon, they know. You know, we sit around here and as fans and as media, we're talking about, oh, this guy didn't show up or this guy. They know. You look at the score sheet and the other players' top guys got it done. You didn't. They know. So I felt very comfortable thinking tonight that the Oilers' big guns would show up tonight. And they did. And it started right away with Hyman. And then right through, you know, just name your top guy. They scored or had an impact on this game.
Brownie, in half the time Strud just took.
Leon and his line mates were fantastic. Leon is a playoff hockey player. Kane is a playoff hockey player. And tonight they played playoff hockey. Very, very good.
You start this time, Brownie. Stuart Skinner. There were some real critics coming out of the woodwork after game two. Perhaps, you know, fair enough. Was this him silencing his critics? Was it a tough enough game that Stuart Skinner can feel as though he shut a few people up and carry a pile of confidence into the next game?
I don't think he needs to have that to give himself a pile of confidence. He's a confident goalie. Mm-hmm. I thought he played well. He didn't have to be great, but there were long stretches where he didn't see shots, and then all of a sudden you have Adrian Kempe coming in on a breakaway, and he stared him down. I thought Skinner was good, and in this series, he's been the better of the two goaltenders, and tonight was a confidence builder for his teammates, seeing him play as calm as he was.
Yeah, he's about the wins, and he got the win tonight. And I think that's really all he cares about.
For sure. The Kings, I thought they had a little bit of a formula, Struds. I think most of their good opportunities tonight came from hard in on the forecheck. Big hits, pounding the defenseman. Little bit of a formula there. You think that's something they can build off of, that?
Well, we didn't see it in game one. We saw it in game two, and today it was, you know, it was a little, maybe a little bit. It was kind of not too little too late, but we didn't see enough of it. So, yeah, I think that that works against any D, though. If you put pressure on D, make them turn, go get the puck, it wears them down. So, yeah, I think that for the Kings to have success, they need to forecheck way harder and more consistently hard every shift.
You can't let the Oilers carry the puck out. They're getting it in every single time. The Oilers aren't turning the puck over in the neutral zone. They're playing a seven-game series. The Oilers know exactly what the Kings are. It's not like you're playing them in January and you just played Colorado the night before. You knew what you were getting. You can't just keep doing it because the Oilers are just coming up. They're dumping it in, and then they're winning the race to the puck because the Kings are all standing still.
I like that LaFerriere, man. I know that Oilers fans won't like him much, but that hit he threw on Day, that guy's disrupting. Yeah. He's getting in people's faces. He's going to draw a penalty at a big moment.
Did he threw a big one on? He threw a big one on Leon too, wasn't it?
Oh, huge hit on Leon. Yeah. That just thumped him, and that looked like it hurt. Okay, that was takeaways brought to you by FG Promotions. Time now for the best segment on the podcast, Brownie Points, brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. This Alberta-based family-owned business opened in 1962. They're jerky out of this world, and for the month of April, you can get 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85. Great deal. Free shipping as well. Mix and match from their 14 flavors. Fast shipping anywhere in the province. Visit albertajerky.com. Brownie?
Well, I need to gain some brownie points so that I can give out some brownie points. So I'm going to take a few back. I'm taking 8 brownie points away from Drew Doughty. The okay. LA Kings have to score first in hockey games to be able to beat the Edmonton Oilers. Drew Doughty's one. I love Drew Doughty. I think he's a fantastic hockey player, a Hall of Famer. The play he made to give up the first goal, throwing it away in his own zone, he's too good a player to do that. He lost 8 points because he gave the Edmonton Oilers a 1-0 lead with a very bonehead play to start the game. I'm taking away 830 brownie points from the National Hockey League that keeps putting the Oilers on at 8:30 p.m. so that those people out east can watch it at 10:30 p.m. I don't understand. This is way too late for us to have to stay up. And it's going to do it again on Sunday, and we have to work on Monday. So the NHL, they owe me a lot of brownie points. Mm-hmm. I am giving out 10 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers PK because they are 10 for 10 in this series. And as good as the Oilers power play has been, to me, the penalty killing is the big reason the Oilers have won two games. They're giving the LA Kings nothing, nothing. I'm just throwing this one in right now. I'm giving 50 brownie points to Shauger for having the guts to pull Connor Brown off of the PK unit so that the Oilers penalty killing unit can start to excel at a different level. So Shauger, you get 50 for that.
I'm sure I called that. But...
And my final one, 10 brownie points to Evander Kane for the Gordie Howe hat trick. The first Gordie Howe hat trick for the Edmonton Oilers in over 30 years. The last one to do it was Craig McTavish. So 9 big brownie points to Evander Kane.
That's in the playoffs, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I just heard Bob Stauffer say it on our show, and I stole it.
All right. You're ripping that stat from Bob. May or may not be getting it right, but it's been a while since.
It could be completely wrong, but it's late at night, and we're going to go with it.
Awesome stuff. All right. Beautiful. That was Brownie Points brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. All right. You're going to stick around for Strutty's World next, Brownie, and then
absolutely.
We'll let you go.
Absolutely.
So 100%. Coming up after the break, we will get to Strutty's World. Lots still to come. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Cue the tropical tunes. Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. I grabbed a couple of bottles today, the coconut and the mango. I will be enjoying some mango as a lead blanket tonight. If you haven't had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor, grab a bottle today. Their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels, infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwreck, fans. Available at your local liquor retailer. I was at Wine & Beyond today in Sherwood Park. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. As someone on the stream pointed out, Strutty, we still have not seen your Ryan Reynolds glasses yet. Are they within arm's length? Or
No, they're not here. They're I believe they're upstairs right now.
I don't think these things exist, Brownie. I think you lied about all of it.
I found him. Actually, I saw my eye doctor the other night, and he said compliment me on how good I looked.
You put all these compliments and his wife can't keep her hands off me. These glasses don't exist.
Okay, I'll bring them out. I don't want to take away from the pod. The pod's got enough going on without it. Good. Okay, Matt Rempe. Let's talk about this guy. 5 minutes play tonight. I think he had 4 or 5 hits and absolute monster. I think there was about 8 minutes to go in the first period. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk takes the puck, picks up, but kind of just starts to go to skate behind his net, kind of does reverse, watching his pass back. All of a sudden out of the other side comes Rempe and absolutely buries Trevor Van Riemsdyk. And he leaves. He has to leave the game. It's a big man to another big man, but just absolutely destroys him. I think he only got 2 minutes for interference. There was some talk about him getting more than that. I actually didn't mind it. I didn't think he left his feet. You know, was it dirty? I mean, it's not the cleanest one, but it's the playoffs. And he just put him right through the glass. Now, later on, Tom Wilson's trying to fight him. And I love that Rempe skated away from it. You don't need to fight him. The Caps are down 3-0 in that series. You just say, sorry, buddy, I'll fight you next year and just keep moving on and out. But guys, I understand where people are frustrated with that hit, especially if you're a Caps fan. But I think taking that hit or giving that hit in that moment for Rempe in 5 minutes, it's a pretty big impact.
Well, it was a big impact. It knocked the guy out of the game. Capitals already were 3 defensemen short. That's the 4th defenseman. I thought it was worthy of a 5 minute. I thought it was late. The first contact was head. The hard part is the guy's 6'8". I think no matter who he hits, it's going to be first contact head. It will be head. He's if you are a fan of the Rangers, you love it. If you're a fan of physical hockey, you love it. But if he was to do that to Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl or Evan Bouchard or Matthias Ekholm and they left the game and were done for the series, I think we in Edmonton would have a different view on that hit. But I will say this, not just for his size, but for what he does on the ice, he is noticeable every game that he plays.
100% he is. Struds, I didn't like it. I think, you know, in every hitting situation, generally there's a hammer and a nail. And rule of thumb is it's your responsibility as the hammer to not get the head first. That's, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter how tall you are. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's your job not to make the head the first point of contact. So contort your body however you have to. You can't just go barreling in there and because you're taller than everybody else, take a piece of the guy's head and go, I got unfair genetics. It's hard for me to hit without taking the head. Mm-hmm. Like he hammered him in the head. And then remember a number of years ago, the NHL decided they were going to get rid of those hits where a guy was like this and you were coming this way and blindsiding him when he was vulnerable and not looking. So I do believe it was blindside to a degree. I do believe he took the head. I absolutely think it should have been a 5. And I think there's a chance he could and should get a game for that.
I agree with all that. 100%.
He may, but I would still suggest he does it. Because I think I think he's just tilting the ice for his team.
So it's worth it. Basically, like Struds, you have said many times, and I know you don't want anybody to get hurt. That's not what you're advocating for. No. But what you're saying is, if you're going to take a penalty of aggression.
Make it worth your while, right? And we saw Pierre Luc Dubois do it on Connor in the first game one. It was just like a love tap for 2 minutes. Now, you're right. I don't want to see anyone get hurt or anything. But I mean, if you're going to take a run at someone. And see, I disagree a little bit with you with about the size part. I think that's this is a conversation for another day, but if you're much bigger than another guy, how low are you supposed to go to hit him or do you not hit him at all? So does that create an unfair advantage for the smaller player?
Don't get him in the head. Just don't get him in the head. Figure it out.
But how can you do it? I don't know how you can do that.
You're going to have to be careful about who you launch into. That's what the league wants. He wants players thinking about that.
So don't hit smaller players. Is that what you're saying?
When you're going to be careful, make sure you hit him in a way where it's not obvious. Yeah,
but how can you do it? How can I do it if a guy's 5'10 and I'm 6'6"? It's impossible. You're gonna connect on the head. So that's the difference. So I understand what you're saying, the spirit of what you're saying, but on the ice, it's impossible to make that happen. You can't.
But I also think it was a late hit.
I think
it was a late hit. So to me, it's a 5 minute major. Because I mean, it's late. I just, every time I see something happen, I think, and we watch it like we cheer like the big hit. But I say, okay, what if that happened to McDavid? What if that happened to Drysdale? We'd be thinking the same way. And I think that if someone was to hit, if Rempe was to hit Connor McDavid like that, I mean, they'd be burning the rink down if it was only a 2-minute penalty. Like, seriously.
Emma Terry says, I'm 6'5" on bare feet. On skates, it's 6'8". It's not hard to hit low when you're big. So he's suggesting that it's not that hard to do it. Struds, I know what you're saying, what man.
Is that Division 7 men's league at River Cree?
Well, you got it backwards, Shaggy. He said it's hard not to hit low.
Oh, sorry. Did I read that wrong? It's hard. Okay, it's hard not to hit low when you're big. Right.
Then so Struts takes that.
I take it back. He must be Division 4. No, but like honestly, you know what? This guy shoots a puck too hard. He can't shoot too hard. You might break someone's foot on the way to the ice or on
it's
the way
not,
to the net.
It's not illegal to hit someone in the foot with a shot. Yeah, it's okay for the league to say to players, it's your responsibility not to make the first and principal point of contact the head. However you do that, figure it out. But if you do, you're going to get penalized and suspended.
So then it's a positive to be a smaller player. Again, I repeat that. That's not fair.
So it's an advantage.
That's not right.
Big guy's got an advantage too. You go to block shots, you take up more space. That's an advantage for you.
I completely disagree. That is wrong to do that. So if I go to hit a guy, my feet are on the ice, my elbow's tucked, and it's a little guy you're going against, and you hit him in the head, what do you want me to do? How much more clean can I? I've got to bend my knees and go down like I'm proposing to my 5-foot girlfriend. Like, that's just, it's a craziest idea. And I would disagree with that forever. The other guys, why don't they grow? Why don't you get those other guys to grow? They can get taller.
You're just lucky, Struds, that you don't get a penalty. Well, the principal point of contact being your head, because for you to try and keep your head away from people when you were hitting, I mean, packing that melon around.
But I'm saying is I'm coming down, my feet are on, my elbows tucked, and I'm not a target. Like, what do you want me to do? What are you supposed to do?
Don't hit him in the head. Let's go the other way.
Let's go the other. Yamamoto jumps in and jumps in the air to hit a Rempe, but he only gets him in the nipple because he's not a very big guy. So does he not deserve a penalty?
Feet left the ice, and by the way, you can't leave your feet
because he's a small guy. Small guys can get away with anything they want. I completely disagree with this. Completely disagree with this. Any idea of that? It's unfair. It's not.
It's always been unfair for the bigger gentleman. It always has been.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you've made it through life, Struts. You have been.
Listen, I'm lucky. I'm a lucky guy. I'm spelt. I look nice, but the little guys. I know. I will never get off this pedal. I cannot accept this line of reasoning. It makes no sense at all.
All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum.
Became it.
Yeah, you owned that segment, Strutty. You owned that segment. Yeah. Brownie, thanks, buddy. I know you pulled double duty tonight, as always. So much appreciated, and we'll chat again real soon.
Are you guys going to be okay?
Like, grinder.
Seriously, you guys grinder. Like, is it okay? Do you need me to stay just to make sure you guys?
You're a little guy. You're a little guy. You can only do 30 minutes. Better get out of here and get some sleep. Let us big guys grind it out.
Anybody that's 6'2" and taller gets to stay, Struds.
We got to stay. Yeah, we got to keep pushing.
Now you're giving me 6'2". Now you're going to give me 6'2".
Yeah. Well, no, I just be nice. I was being kind.
I'm going to bed. Bye-bye.
All right. Go to bed, pal. We're going to take a lap when we get back and then ask us anything. We'll do another 15 minutes or so here on the pod. So stay with us.
We're back. We already did all our commercials.
Oh, hey,
welcome back.
And we're back, everybody.
Nice job, Zuby. That was awesome. And I don't have my ad read ready. Oh, my goodness sakes. All right, time now to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it just got even better. Engineered for back shaving, the new friction fit handle on the 2.0. lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. Check them out, backscape.com. That's BAKscape.com. And we got a promo code. Please go and use it. It's what tells them that you're listening and finding their products here. So these promo codes matter to us. GYB10 also gets you 10% off their advanced and deluxe kits. Stay smooth, gentlemen with Backscape. Strutty, where do we want to go as we take a lap tonight, pal?
Well, we've kind of gone over the games for tonight. There were some pretty exciting games, but a couple things I find interesting looking ahead to, well, for sure tomorrow. Willie Nylander skated a full practice. Kind of a weird break for those that series, Boston-Toronto. And he had a full practice. And he wouldn't reveal if he's going to play or not, but he's still questionable. I don't know. I feel like he'll play in game four. That's my gut, just trying to read between the lines. So Willie Nylander probably guessing could return tomorrow for the Leafs against Boston.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there's some reporting on what the injury was and migraines and that sort of thing. He didn't want to say a lot about it when he did talk about it. But I think the team would be careful about serving him up too early if he wasn't pretty close to going, right? I think they would be careful about putting him in front of the media. He said he felt good the last couple of days. Pretty big swing for them when they get that guy back, Struds. I know he's a big points guy, but he's a pretty integral part of when they're playing well and he's in the zone. He brings a lot of personality and swagger to that group in game.
Yeah, well said. I think he does. That's a big thing. I think it brings them confidence and swagger. Yeah. And you know, with all due respect to some of the other guys who are trying to fill that hole, it's just not there. You got a 98-point player on the bench, or not even on the bench, sorry, in the stands. I think that he's a big part of that group. And I don't know if they come back against Boston, but I sure feel a lot better about saying they might be able to with him on the ice playing for the Leafs.
Yeah, for sure.
And something that Oilers fans used to spend a lot of time paying attention to, and it's kind of random, but May 7th, the draft lottery, NHL draft lottery. And it's so funny. We don't even talk about it anymore, but yeah. I just feel it's kind of, it's more of an ironic one. I'm kind of trying to be funny a little bit, but that's what's happening May 7th. And I don't think there's Oilers fans who cares, about who is or isn't getting the first pick this year, but we'll know, I guess, what is that, Shogger? Not even 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks away. Yeah, nice. Whatever. We used to talk about it so much, man. It was every year we were talking about the damn draft lottery, and it kept on winning it. And it was just, there was all that hatred and vitriol for Edmonton. Right. And just, I'm glad it's not part of what we really have to even cover anymore, because that grew old and tired after a little while, man.
Not like that. And I do find it interesting to see who gets it or whatever. But anyways, it's May 7th if you're interested. But I'm guessing hopefully that night the Oilers will have something more important going on than wondering who wins that.
For sure. I'm going to throw one more item in to take a lap here. Lots of people have been asking about it on the stream. So we're going to play this clip. Evander Kane had kind of a funny post-game clip tonight. Mark Spector asked him about, you know, what it is about playoff hockey that brings out the best in him. So the backstory here is that Spec did a segment, I think it was over at Oilers Nation, where he talked about some of the drama that has followed Evander Kane around during his career, right? And he used the word drama a few different times. And it was a segment that they promoted, kind of went viral a little bit there, definitely got some attention. And so, you know that Evander Kane sees and hears a lot out there, right? He's a guy that definitely pays attention. And so his answer tonight, Spec's just looking to do a story on Evander Kane, who played really well tonight, and Evander Kane with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek shot back. So this isn't piling on Spec. If you guys want to do that, go for it. I think Spec does a good job. And, you know, I have his back to a degree here, but Evander Kane with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek shot back at Spec tonight.
Did you think that I have this clip, Shoggy?
You don't have the clip?
We talked about it on the chat, but you never told me to get it. I didn't think you were going to put it in the show. Yeah.
Basically,
you want me to be Evander Kane?
That's funny. Yeah. He basically said, it's all the drama. It's all the drama brings it out in me. So he threw that back at him. This would have had a lot more impact if we'd had that clip, Strutty.
For sure. Well, two things. Number one, I think that when Kane goes in there, I think those types of things motivate him. I think it pisses him off.
Sure.
Number two, I never saw the value when I was a player in reading what the media was saying or thinking. I just don't. So I don't understand why he goes in there, but I'll go back to number one. I think that he draws energy off it and draws that fire that just fuels his game so well. So if it works for him, who am I to say not to?
100%. And I've had a player do this to me before too. Like you'll recall a few years ago, I had a tweet. It was kind of it was a prickish tweet. And I apologized after. It was one of those times where it just got away from me a little bit about Al Montoya not being willing to talk on a game day. And so I sent this, you know, I was on my high horse, blah, 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 blah. I've learned, right? You learn lessons along the way here. And so I kind of ripped him. And then after the game, I was in there and I asked him a question. I think he won. I can't remember. I think he won. And I asked him a question and he just flat out ignored me. And everyone stood there awkwardly. He's like, anybody else? He basically just said like he was not answering my question. So I think I asked another one and he didn't answer that one either. I was like, all right, so we move on. So listen, the players can fire back too, right? That is all fair and love and war, man. Sometimes we say things they don't like. And, you know, I always tell players, if I ever do or say anything you don't like, bring it on, man. Let's have at it. No problem at all. So no issue with Kane taking a tongue-in-cheek little shot back and Specs doing his job. So, hey, man, it gets feisty sometimes. All right, that was Take a Lap brought to you by Backscape. Zuby, no commercial break, right? We're just going straight into Ask Us Anything. We're back.
Correct.
Welcome back to the program. Time now for Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. If you need a spot to hang before the big game, Match Pub is as close to the action as you will get. Located within the Grand Villa Casino, this lively sports bar makes the perfect place to gather, enjoy perfected pub bites, a selection of ice-cold beer and classic cocktails. For more info, check out matchpub.com. All right, Zuby, hop in, buddy. Let's do, 8 minutes or so of this, and then let's get the heck out of here.
I have the giggles from that, not having the clip.
Like, you couldn't have cut me off earlier and been like, Shoggy, I don't have it if that's what you're doing.
I texted I you. You have your text. I texted you because I'm like, do you have this clip? Because we were talking about it before. Anyway, at the risk of, I don't want to make Stretti angry, but one thought, and I don't even necessarily agree with this, but I was thinking about if you want to say the tall player has a responsibility to control himself hitting a smaller player in the head, could that not be flipped the other way too? A smaller player has to answer for going low and hitting a knee. Are those, if you translated it to that, then the responsibility wouldn't be only on the big guys. It would just be heads versus knees.
Yeah, but I think, I do understand. I think anyone can hit a low. Kind of get it like eye low, right? Anyone can get down and hit low, I think. We saw Trevor Moore on Darren A. That was game one.
Didn't love that one.
No, and you're right. And, you know, he didn't have anything else happen to him. But I am a little bit biased, obviously, when it comes to bigger guys hitting smaller guys. But it's just, I think smaller players more often get away with things than bigger guys do. And I think there's a bias there because you want to protect the little guy, but the little guys are dirty too, man. They do a lot of things that you don't love when you're a bigger man.
Sherry Frazzy says, I love this pod. Let's go Oilers. Sherry, don't know if you know or not, we're now selling hats online on our website. So you can actually order them now. You can pay with a PayPal, play with Apple. So if you go to gybpod.com and then click on merch, and there's some pink ones in there. Ordered a pink one for Randine today. So if anybody's interested in some different colors and such, definitely go check it out. And by the way, we need to come up with a nickname for Steve because all of the hats are named after each of us on the show. So there's the Strutty, the Brownie, the Shogger, the Zuby, and the Steve. Like, we got to do better for him than that.
I think we should get a few. People can give us a few ideas. And one night on a night when Steve's doing the show, have a poll of some of the best ones. We'll get Steve a Got Your Back nickname and we can rename the hat. That's my idea.
I think they have to come organically. Nicknames have to come organically. You can't just Steve-o, force it.
The Steve man, no, Stevie T.
Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve. Scuba Steve. Okay. All right. Keep it rolling, Zuby.
Okay. And Belrose Composite High 1995 grad Gordy Parchewski says, did anyone think that the Gavrikov slide into McDavid's knees was dirty and maybe accidentally on purpose?
I didn't think that. I had two looks at it and I didn't think that, but
yeah. Yeah. I think we're a little bit biased against this Kings team that everything's injury since Mike Anderson did what he did to Connor or to Leon, I should say. But I didn't think there was anything crazily out of touch there with what should be happening on the ice.
Daryl Dunlop says, I thought the Oilers played a pretty disciplined game tonight overall, considering some of the stuff that went down. And there's been a few comments like that directed towards Evander Kane. And Obelisk 21 added, he felt that's the Corey Perry effect on Kane. He's certainly right in there. You've seen him out on the ice counseling him and stuff when he was talking to the refs. Do you think Corey Perry's having a big effect on Evander Kane keeping that discipline in check, or maybe across team-wide?
Can't hurt, right? He's been there. And we talked about this before. When the Oilers are engaging first and then another team reacts, that's when you got him. When you're reacting to what other team's doing, usually you're chasing the game. So I think more often than not, you should turn the other cheek and just keep doing it between the whistles, get them frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Perry's finding ways, right? Like the offense isn't necessarily there, but he's finding ways. And yeah, you see him in all sorts of different little areas of the game where, you know, whether it's talking to the refs, talking to teammates, doing his thing. They're really glad they have him. I know that for sure.
Cody Robotham said, can you explain the second goal and why it worked so well to load up the speed off the rush, beat the Kings into the zone? And that was the one where I think that was Kane and Draisaitl, right? And
yeah, they beat the 1-3-1 to Paul or Struds. Like they chewed up that 1-3-1. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, speed. I mean, the biggest thing is the slower you are to regroup, the more time it lets them get into place. So you want to try to get that puck moving up right away. And then once you get it going, use your speed, look for some kind of holes, and then drive it through as quick as they can. And that's kind of what they did there on that play, guys.
Non-Oiler question from Obelisk. He says, how much trouble are Winnipeg in, and can Hellebuck bounce back?
What do you think? They're Strud 6-2 tonight, the final. Yikes.
Well, what are the goals they've given up, man? Has it been 2 sixes and a five?
They won with a 6.
Getting to Hellebuck, bottom line.
They gave up a 6 and won that game.
Yeah, 7-6 and then 5-10. It's shocking how many goals Colorado scoring. Not because I don't think Colorado can score, but just that Winnipeg took pride in their defensive play and their goaltending, right? So I'm shocked by this. So yes, I'm shocked. And at this point, that's 3 games in a row.
6-5-6.
Yeah, there you go. So what is that? That's 17 goals against in 3 games against a guy who's probably going to win the Vezina. I did not expect that at all. So you're looking at that. You're coming out with probably the Avs. Many thought it'd be Winnipeg. It was going to be Dallas. Now it's going to be Vegas. And then Vancouver might win without Demko.
Yeah.
Like, and then the Oilers. Like, that is not the final four I expected coming down the last 2 weeks, guys.
A few people that just humor me here, because I don't think you guys think that they'll make lineup changes outside of injuries. But Sean said, a few people mentioned they thought Fogle was kind of the weakest forward tonight. Sean said specifically, thoughts on moving Fogle out for Brown and putting Perry McLeod and Holloway as your third line.
Why'd you change anything? Just leave it the same. Just let her buck.
That big body. You're not taking that big body and that speed out of the lineup. It's not happening.
Yeah. Let her buck. I just don't know why you would make any changes at all. Like, there's 100% no reason to make any sort of changes at all. All right, Zuby, pick one more, bud.
Okay, last one. Justin Powell says, in all caps, I can see Big Save Dave going in next game. Do you think the Kings make a change in net?
What do you think, Struds?
Was tonight about the goaltending? Like, is that what we're trying to say? Yeah. I thought the Oilers were the better team. I don't know. I'd actually be happy if I was an Oilers fan. They put Big Save Dave in there. I really would be. So that tells me, my gut tells me they can't change him. You keep Cam Talbot in there.
That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. I'd go back with Talbot again too, Struddy. All right, time now for our play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. What was your favorite thing that happened today? That is our play of the day. When the puck drops, the bets don't stop. Now with odds boosts on the games you can care about the most, like the Stanley Cup playoffs, of course. Got Your Back has an exclusive offer that'll get you a $50 free bet when you deposit at Play Alberta today PlayAlberta.ca is the website. The promo code is GYB50. So that's GYB50 at PlayAlberta.ca. And as always, please play responsibly. Struds, what did we like today? What's out there? Let's go off the board here.
Well, you gave a little tidbit today. You dropped it in there. It was with Wayne Gretzky interviewing Paul Coffey.
On the TNT broadcast tonight, yeah.
So let's hear what Wayne and Coff, old teammates and Hall of Famers, said to each other.
Settle an argument for me here. Who had more block shots in their career, you or me?
Probably you, because you gave the puck away more.
All right, good luck tonight.
That's the mic drop moment right there. Love it.
Yeah, sounds tripping Wayne Gretzky. And I mean, I Paul Coffey is, I give him, I remember we talked on this pod, what's he going to be like? How's he going to be as a coach? Never done it before. And he's been incredible with this group of players.
Yeah. Gotten to know him a little bit more this year. Had been around him quite a bit over the years. Had a few conversations with him. Pretty cool dude. He's as cool a dude as you might think he is, Struds, if you don't know him.
He's an incredible guy and funny. He always got to bring more zip, Struddy. More zip. I'm like, we're doing events. Like, how much more zip can I bring? That's all I bring. Zip.
100%.
Great guy. Great guy.
By the way, I'm going to wrap up the pod with a thought. And Struds, you can feel free to disagree with me. Zuby, you can too. I didn't want to open this up for a huge forum of discussion because I just don't think it deserves it. But I do want to have my say here. This Brett Kissel thing is ridiculous. This idea that whoever sings the anthem might have something to do with who wins or loses the game is ridiculous. For everybody signing this petition, this is a local guy. A local guy who's made good. A local guy who has donated tons of his time to benefit Oiler charities. A local guy who loves this team as much as any one of you Oiler fans. And now he's getting shit on because of some ridiculous petition. It's stupid. It's silly. It's insulting to a local guy. And I just think it's dumb. So I just wanted to say that, Struds. But by all means, disagree with me if you want.
Yeah, if you think the anthem singer impacts the outcome of a game, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
A lot.
1,000%. It makes absolutely no difference. And you know what? I don't want to hear about a guy's politics. Don't care. He's singing the national anthem, not giving a speech. So for Brett Kissel, could care less if he sings another one. I think he does a fantastic job. It's not going to affect the outcome of the game. Oiler fans, there's no need to turn on one of your own here because of some stupid suggestion that was unnecessary. It's ridiculous. All right. Wrapping up the pod. Zuby, good job tonight, buddy. Thanks.
Cheers, brother.
All right. We will talk after game four. What's it going to be? 2-2 or 3-1? Looking forward to it. We'll talk to you real soon, folks. Thanks to all our sponsors, including Sherwood Buick GMC, our proud presenting sponsor. See you soon.